choice. We all make choices in life, spouse, jobs, where to live, etc. But did you know that Agile is a choice as well? And if left alone, most dev teams will make this choice. Find out what that is on this episode of The Agile Within.
Welcome to the podcast that challenges you from the inside. Come be more and discover the Agile Within. And now here's your host, Greg Miller.
Okay, so welcome to another episode of the Agile Within. As usual, my name is Greg, and today we are in January 2021, and unfortunately still involved in the worldwide pandemic. And in the United States here, where I live, we are going through wrapping up the election results. And that's kind of led me to thinking about choice. You know, we've had choices there. We made a choice to choose our elected officials. And we have lots of choices in life. And this show is all about behaviors. And choice is one of them. You choose things every day. You choose where you live. You choose your spouse. You choose maybe your job, if that's a choice. So, and today's topic is all about Agile being a choice. Agile is a choice. And to discuss that is my guest, Damon Poole. Damon is a longtime Agilist coach, and he also has an upcoming book called Professional Coaching for Agilists, from Addison Wesley Professional, coming up in March. Welcome to the show, Damon.
Well, thanks for having me, Greg. It's exciting to be here. And I guess it was my choice.
Awesome. Yes, thank you for that. Yes, it is your choice to come here. I invited you and you made a choice to come.
I did.
Thank you for the point there, previewing the point there. So just as a side note, Damon and I have known each other for, I don't know, maybe a year or so. Damon was actually my teacher. I took a class from Damon on professional coaching for Agile. I believe it was the ICP ACC, yeah. I think it was.
ICP ACC.
ICP ACC with your course there.
From IC Agile, FYI.
Yes, IC Agile. But yes. Anybody out there looking to get coaching, I would highly recommend it. I enjoyed it. It was, I believe it. I like the way Damon has it set up. You go through, you choose, you have so many classes you have to take. You get to choose the day or the session you take. And you have, what is it, Damon? You have 6 months, or maybe did you change it? 3 months, 6 months, I think, when I took it.
It depends. There's a couple different packages. I've got even a 3-day package now, you know, sort of what people expect to do it in 3 days. The subscription tends to be kind of unexpected. So I added the 3-day package so that, you know, it meets people's expectations.
Okay. Well, yeah, definitely met mine. I enjoyed the interaction with the folks in the class and got a lot out of it. So plug for you, I'd highly recommend it. Going to Damon Poole's ICP ACC class from IC Agile. So Agile is a choice, Damon. You chose to talk about this. So when you think about that, what comes to your mind? Let's dig into that a little bit.
Well, you know, when we first came up with it, you know, was a while ago, we were chatting about that. And, you know, I've had some time to think about it. And in between, one of the things that I've been using in class is to describe this issue that often comes up with Agile adoptions, which is, you know, people always ask, how do you overcome resistance? And I like to say you really can't, right? So if you're seeing resistance, that means that you're going in an area that it isn't going to move forward right now, right? It's being resisted. People are not choosing, you know, to go in line with what we're talking about here. They're not choosing to go in that direction. So the example I like to use is, I'll do it with you. So, hey, Greg, how would you like to have, you know, imagine we're in person, yay. And I say, hey, here's a $100 bill just for you. No strings attached, no obligation. Just here it is. You know, I put it out there for you. You know, would you take it?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Right.
Giving me $100 bills. Yeah.
I can't resist that. No. Right. Now, on the other hand, let's, you know, replay, let's rewind and go in a different direction. So I say, hey, Greg, I have this piece of paper here that says that you owe me $100. And so, here it is. It's signed by me, and you need to give me $100. Well, would you do it?
Right. Well, if you're asking me from a personal perspective, if I had
I made it up.
Oh, you made
it's
it
a
up.
Made up piece of paper.
It's not real.
You don't owe me $100. Oh, I just have a piece of paper that I signed that says you owe me $100. And so I say, okay.
I didn't sign it. Okay. Yeah. Well, no, I didn't. I don't owe it to you. So of course not. Yes.
Right.
Unless you're asking me for a loan, but if you say,
no, just straight up, give me $100.
Yeah. Well, I don't owe it to you. So I guess no, I wouldn't.
Yeah, no. So in the first case, you saw the value of it. There was no resistance. Mm-hmm. In the second case, you're like, why? I don't see the value in just giving you $100 for no reason. So you wouldn't do it. You'd resist.
Correct.
So it's the same thing with really anything in life. But since we're talking about Agile, it's the same thing with Agile. People do what they want to do. And they do things that they see value in. And it has to be more value than what they're currently doing. Otherwise, you know, why would you make that choice? Now, sometimes we'll just go along. Right, it'd be like, oh, this is new to me. You know, I hear it's good. I don't know. I'll give it a shot. Right. So you're sort of you use the word loan. You're kind of you know, taking out a trust loan. I trust that this will go somewhere valuable, but I may not see it yet. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's kind of part of what's related to the choice. There is people make choices based on where they see value or not.
Yeah, I would agree with that. As a Scrum Master right now, I'm actually kind of, I've gone through that and I'm going through it again in my current job. Yeah, resistors. And I've always been, I was actually told by a coach at another company, a good friend of mine, she said, because dealing with resistors and was working with her, and she said, you know what, kind of what you're alluding to is that, she said, I'm not in the business of dragging people along. she said if they push back too much and just don't want, she's like, I move on. I don't waste my time pulling someone who resists that much and doesn't want to do it. Like you said, there has to be a little bit of wanting to do it, understanding it. And current teams that I have, we are talking about value a lot, as you mentioned. And someone just asked me today on stand up, I said we had to do, forgot what it was. I said, we needed to do something. What did they think about doing this? I was asked their opinion, and the answer I got was, well, why are we doing this? What's, you know, didn't say the word value, but I knew what he meant. And I told him why I was asking him to do this. And so, but you're exactly right. I, in this job, You can't just tell someone to do something, and they're going to always want to know why. And like you said, how is it better than what they're doing now? That's the big hurdle, probably, I think.
Mm. Well, you know, I mean, you said a lot of interesting things there. The one that I want to dig into a little bit more is the dragging along.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so I'm going to change it a little bit. You know, it's sort of like, you know, carrying somebody. Right. So if you carry somebody someplace, A, when you turn your back, they're probably going to walk back to where they
were. Sure.
And B, it's your effort, not theirs. Right. It's like the, one of the things I like to see to do, to see if people have chosen something is, either mentally or really go on vacation from the stand up, for instance. So if you're starting with a new team and they're going to the stand up when you're there, but then you go on vacation, or, you know, maybe you just say, oh, I'm not going to be attending the next few stand-ups. I'll check in with you or however you arrange it. And, you know, don't make it mandatory. Just throw it out there, you know. So if they decide not to show up, they decide not to show up and see what happens.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So see if they chose it or not. Because otherwise, You're dragging them there, basically. It's right. Your effort, and so you can't put that. You only have so much effort. I mean, like Greg, you're amazing and all that, but you know you can only do so much, right?
Right. Yeah.
So exactly. Yeah, if you're dragging them to stand, I'm not saying you are, but you know, if you're dragging them to stand up, then you can't put that effort somewhere else.
That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. It's a two-way street. I mean, This particular situation is they're used to waterfall for, I don't know, 20 some years.
Mm.
And I was told that coming in, and they're used to that. And you can imagine 20 years of one way of anything, whether it be waterfall, you know, any behavior doing that long. And suddenly you're told, right, here, go to this class. And a couple day class or whatever, and suddenly you're like, yeah, ta-da, you're scrum, off you go. And they're like, what the world? And yeah, I took it over. And so, yeah, you're mentioning to resistors in the beginning is right along with this of being a choice. So I want to stop it. You said you had a couple of things I had said previously you wanted to unpack. I want to give you the opportunity.
Oh, well, I mean, there was the one particular thing that I wanted to unpack. I don't remember what the other things
were. Okay. So, the idea of choice. So this is not their choice, right? Mm. It's not your choice. They didn't choose Agile. The company selected Agile, not just my company, but any company in
particular,
right? It's usually going to be, you've been there. It's, you were brought in. To other companies. I remember you talking to me about that. You were consultants and going through transformations, and company made a choice to bring you in because they were going through Agile and you're on this team, and people don't want to do that. So how do we get, how do we get people to maybe make it their choice and see the value in there?
Well, here's the interesting thing. And it took me a while to get there. You know, a lot of the stuff that I know I absorbed or stolen,
yeah.
You know, stolen.
Yeah, right.
I like to say absorbed from other people that came before or that were wiser or had a different perspective or whatever. And one of the things is, you know, I think you were alluding to this earlier. I don't remember. But anyway, so somebody said, you know, we have all these adults that we're working with, and you know, adults make adult choices. You mentioned spouse earlier, right? That's what it was. You were talking about spouse.
Yeah,
your choice of spouse, your choice of job, where you're going to live, where you're going to work, when are you going to retire?
Right?
Are you going to go to college? Are you going to drop out? All these choices. Am I going to pay my mortgage? Like, I don't really know very many people that just are like, I'm not going to pay my mortgage.
No.
Right. That's like a scary proposition. Like what, you know, all the ramifications, whatever. So that means that person is very responsible. Right. They make good choices. Right. Mm-hmm. But then when we come to work, some of that goes away.
Sure. Right.
This person makes all of the decisions. That person, like, here's a simple one. Who chooses the people on a team?
That's a great choice. Yeah, I sorry, not a great choice. A great question, because I brought that up to somebody else. So in my experience, the team is chosen by usually some management, some management normally, and put together. The team doesn't normally. I've only ever worked one place, honestly, that was last year, where the management was in. We were redoing the teams. I had five teams at the time, and the manager was all in Agile, and he was like, "I said, why don't we let the teams? Why don't we take this opportunity to self-organize, self-manage?" And he was like, "That's great." And you know what I found? This is an interesting thing. This is a tangent here. I opened it up to allow them to have the choice, and the response I got was not what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
They said they wanted us to choose for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was like, "What?"
Well, yeah, right.
And some of them actually said, "Well, you know, I don't want to work with this person. I don't want to be on that team." You're always going to get that, right? Because I had 20 some people and over five teams. So, and then other people were saying, "Yeah, I kind of like to work on this piece of work, but you go ahead and choose." So, yeah.
I don't actually think that is a tangent at all. I think that's definitely on point. So that's sort of a newer area. I used to know this one guy 10 years ago that was doing some of this, but there's actually now two books out on it, Creating Great Teams and Dynamic Reteaming. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly about that, teams choosing themselves. And actually, you know, your experience is not, I don't want to say it's not unique. That's not what I mean. But it's not unusual. I ran into a person that said that they had read one of the books, and they exact same thing. They gave the choice and people said no.
Yeah.
But I think there's a reason for that actually that also has to do with choice. So it comes right back to it. And that is there's individuals, there's teams, and there's the organization at large. And you mentioned, you know, people had been doing something a certain way for 20 years, but what about the organization itself? Like a couple of organizations I've been working with recently have been around for over 100 years.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not just the individuals, it's the way the institution does things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been working in an environment where if you go against, you know, what comes from higher, you get in trouble. Why would you take responsibility for your own actions?
Right.
Right. So if you choose a team and it doesn't work out, now it's your fault.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It puts it more, it's safer to put it back on somebody else, right?
Exactly. Right. So, so there's two words here that, you know, maybe somebody will roll their eyes and be like, "Oh, not that again." But hey, until it's not an issue, it's still an issue, which is trust and safety.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. People tend to be more interested in making choices when they feel, when they trust, they feel trusted and they feel safe.
Yeah. That's a big part of Agile. Yeah. And this, you know, this can lead into so many different things you're right. Choice, blame, right? You made the wrong choice. You chose the wrong team. Mm. Like you were saying, and well, you chose the team, you know, I didn't choose the team. I let you guys do it. Oh, whoops. Yeah. Screwed up. And they have to be that safety, trust, the psychological safety that, maybe I messed up. It's okay. Right. That I made the wrong choice. Right. It takes a while to get to that point. I've found out that, to reach that point where when I tell people, when I come in as a scrum master and tell them, "Hey, you know what? It's okay if we screw up," right? It's, you know, no one's going to, I'm not going to throw you under, I'm not going to get mad at you. Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
But my manager, you're not my manager. My manager is who I really care about, and they're going to get on me. I hear what you're saying, Greg, but yeah, it's been around for such a long time. And, this way of working that, this is why this topic of behavior is so close to my heart, is that because it's everywhere. It's so ingrained and so difficult. And it's, I realized, I think pretty quickly, when I got into Agile that without this, you're not really doing Agile, or you're not being Agile. You're just doing Agile, right? Mm-hmm. You're doing Scrum. Well,
you're doing something.
I don't know what it is, but you're doing something. But when you combine the two, that's when you're really being Agile, which is what this is all about. So,
yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. You used that links sort of back to the word you used earlier a couple of times on behavior, right? So most things, at least in the technology world, and, you know, Agile's gone beyond that, but, you know, just focusing on the technology world for a moment, are new things are related to technology. Agile's not a technology.
No.
Right? So, you know, when was the last time you changed programming languages and got a new manager? Or it's like, all right, so we're going to need to, you know, have psychological safety to move to Java.
No. Right? No, not at all. Nope.
Right? It's a very different thing. And so, you know, wrapping our minds around the fact that the reason it's not working is because we need these new things we didn't have before. You know, the focus really can be, you know, nobody's fault. It's just the way it is, on the doing rather than the being. You know, there's another aspect of choice that's sort of been in the back of my mind here I wanted to get to, which is there is actually a way to turn this all on its head, which I found tremendously successful.
Okay.
And that is, rather than offering choices, to find the choices. And what I mean by that is... Mm-hmm. There are always things that people want to do, even if we don't know what they are. So if you remember, go into detail here, but just, you know, for you in the class, you know, we covered, add car, for instance.
Yeah, right.
And you know, you worked in groups to come up, you know, together with things you all wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, probably a simpler example to go into is when I teach Agile and Scrum, I like to set the expectation. I'm not telling you, and the company's not, when the organization will go along with me. This is not training on what we're going to do. This is training. This is education, informational, knowledge building on what can be done. Right. Okay. And so that drops a bunch of barriers. Like, oh, okay. So I'm going to learn things. You're not telling me what to do.
Right.
And then I like to run this exercise I call the secret room. Although now that we're not physical, it doesn't rename it. But anyway, the secret room. So you imagine this group of people that are going to be working on a team. There's this secret undisclosed location in the building where they do their work. So nobody can find them unless they want to be found. Right. So it gives kind of that firewall around the team that Scrum kind of likes.
Yeah.
So there you are in the secret room, and not saying, hey, you got to do Scrum or Agile, whatever. Just there's a secret room you get together. Mm-hmm. And every 2 weeks, you have to choose what work to do. And then at the end of the 2 weeks, and 2 weeks is very arbitrary, but just, you know.
Sure.
At the end of the 2 weeks, you get paid based on, the whole team gets paid proportional to the work that got done that you said you were going to do. Right. I'm not advising this as an actual manager, by the way.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Just a thought experiment. Right. So if I get all my work done, let's say there's you and me, Greg, there's two of us. Mm-hmm. I'll be gracious. You get all your work done and I did nothing.
Okay.
So you and I both get paid 50%.
So you still get paid as much as I do?
Yeah. I did nothing, but we get paid as a team. So as a team, we got 50%.
Okay. Got it. Yes,
so individually, we get 50%. Now, you're probably not going to be too happy with me.
No. Damon came in, took 3-hour lunches, came in at 10, left at 2. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and those, when I came back from that lunch, I wasn't.
Oh, now you were sleepy. Yeah,
it was one of those kind of lunches.
It was one of those lunches.
Yeah, one of those lunches. I had a good time.
Yeah.
But anyway, so with that as a backdrop, and you basically say, put together a working agreement, and the working agreement includes, are you going to have a stand-up? Are you going to have a retrospective? How long? All that kind of stuff. And you just say, hey, you guys come up with whatever. And you know what people usually choose to do?
What?
Pretty much Scrum.
Okay.
Right. So they'll individually say that they'll have the stand up. They might say that they do it three times a week.
Right.
But, you know, think about it this way. Which would you rather have, a team doing a stand up 3 days a week that they want to do and then they start to see the value? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they're there and they don't want to be there and they're checked out and they're thinking about, you know, activities after work or whatever.
Yeah, I'd at least like them. I mean, Scrum would say 3 days a week is not doing Scrum, but if you're saying given a choice of not doing it at all, I would definitely have a team say, if I came into a team that and it's a Scrum Master, they're not doing it at all, and they say, well, we'll do it 3 days a week. I'd be like, that's a big step. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm saying that as an extreme. You know, mm-hmm. Actually, you know, percentage wise, most people pick a daily stand up.
Right.
And they pick 15 minutes as opposed to an hour because, you know, they'd rather mm-hmm. only be there for 15 minutes. If you're, you know, I'm not saying you would have them be there for an hour, but if it's going to be an hour meeting, then sure, they'll just blah, blah, blah for the whole hour. You know, why not?
Sure. So in this, so you've actually run this experiment before?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was an experiment when I first ran it, but you know, now it's kind of what I do by default. And I don't call it Scrum. I just say, hey, here's what you're going to do. And if it looks like Scrum, great. If it, you know, the first time I did it actually, sort of serendipity. It wasn't intentional, but then I was like, oh, that worked well. There was a team that said, we don't want to do Scrum. I know the other teams want to, but we don't want to, we want to do something else. What is there? And so so we did the training as here's what there is. It wasn't intentionally, you know, here's for educational purposes only, but that's how it turned out. And then they said, oh, well, we'd like to have a card wall, or, you know, you might call it a Scrum board or a Kanban board. We'd like to do t-shirt sizing. We'll meet together daily. We'll do a retro once a week, and we'll use work in progress limits. That was it.
Yeah.
And they became such a much happier team, more productive. You know, they were already getting things done, but they were just overwhelmed mm-hmm. with requests. And and so that work in progress limits really appealed to them. And then in their retrospectives, they started realizing that there was more that they could do. And so they had that hunger and they said, hey, what was that other thing? And it just went from there.
Just went from there. Yeah. But okay, I love that. So this is a team that, so just to back up. So when you said the hypothetical, they weren't really in a secret room, right? Where no one could.
No. Yeah. That's just, it's a thought experiment. So people, you know, they don't think of their current environment. It's kind of like asking, you know, if you had a magic wand or you were a king or queen for the day, you know, what would you do?
What would you do? Okay.
Right. So it opens everything up. And then, you know, maybe there's parts of it that actually the environment doesn't allow them to do, whatever. Yeah. But still, you know, then most of it was their choice.
That is awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, you train them on Scrum. So if I get this, you've trained them on Scrum and then
Scrum and Kanban.
And you said, okay, go into a room and you guys decide what you want to do. And
they came mentally, out. We were in a room already. So they mentally went into a, you know, a place where nobody could bother them.
Yep. 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 And they came up with this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the first thing that says to me is like ownership, right? If you have ownership, what I got from your coaching classes is that they feel like they made the choice, right? They weren't told we have to do this. You said okay, and they own that. And I remember when I went through a coaching class with you and we were going through one of the first things, and I think I volunteered and I had a real problem. I was talking to you about it, and I think I said something like, I just want to get your opinion. And you kept asking me questions.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, why is he just asking me questions? I asked him for his opinion and he's not giving it to me. What's going on? Right. Why isn't he giving me his opinion? I asked him straight out.
What's up with this jerk?
He's being evasive. What's going on here? Keeps asking me questions. And then once I got through it and I found the answer, and I was like, oh, the answer was inside me. You just pulled it out. by asking these open-ended questions. Not yes or no questions, by the way. You asked open-ended questions where I had to think about it.
I hope so.
Yeah. And that kind of, I feel like that's where you went here, is that if the team feels like it's their choice, they take more ownership of it. And you said they even asked you about what's that retrospective thing, or I like that. That might be a way to address resistors there on in Agile. I like and, that.
You know, it doesn't always, well, actually wait. So, you know, going back to your example, you know, it doesn't always work.
Right.
If there's so you happen to have the information you needed. If you didn't, then maybe I would have filled something in, but as little as possible, and then back to you.
Right.
So it doesn't always work, right? There's sometimes there are pathological teams. there are, right?
Yeah, so, I know. Yes.
You know, there's pathological teams, and so their choice would look a lot like what they're doing now. And you're like, oh well, okay.
Yeah. I need to step in here, right?
You know, so it's, right. So it depends, right? So then that could be a management issue and step in or whatever. One person I was talking to about a team like that, and they said eventually the team had to be broken up, right? So they, it was just, they happened to have collected a group of people that just were not interested in contributing. Who knows? Well, I'm sure it was more complicated than that. I wasn't directly involved, but.
Sure, sure.
But the thing is, you know, most adults value something and, you know, are intelligent, and if you give them a value proposition, then they'd be interested. And so if they're not interested, then, you know, a good question is to ask yourself, why aren't they interested? You know, what is it that I'm doing that isn't communicating this value? Because, you know, you and I and any Agilist listening to this, we have this blind spot where we can see things that others can't,
yeah,
because of our experience. And we don't always realize that, right? So we're like, but this is like a $1 million opportunity. And the other person is looking at it like, oh God, that's going to put me in debt by $1,000.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes. Yeah. That's why. And I always walk the line on, like you're saying, if I'm able to see a blind spot with the team, I try to, I feel like I walk the line between coaching them. Do I coach them, or do I tell them, hey, you're going towards the cliff at 100 miles an hour? Or do I say, do I try to coach them to that? I mean, what I've kind of found is that it's, and we're going off a little bit here, I think, but,
well, it's your choice.
It's my choice. what I've kind of found is that I try to use it based on the maturity of the team. If it's a new team and I have to tell them everything, I will just tell them. If it's a,
yeah, absolutely.
As the team goes along, I get more into a coaching mode, as I know, like, I think you said this to me, you know, something that, you know, that they know, if you believe they already know this, you've gone over to them, then maybe go more coaching, ask open-ended questions, and instead of flat out telling them.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, for me, it's kind of like, you know, the example I like to use is when I was a kid, and my younger sister, you know, our family used to love to work on, well, still does, loves to work on jigsaw puzzles. And so when she wasn't looking, I would steal the puzzle piece that I knew she needed, right? She's worked on this particular tree, and I'd see the piece she was looking for, and I would just put it in my pocket and walk off. That was mean. So I, you know, basically I had knowledge that she didn't have, and I kept it from her. So that's not nice. Right? So that's not what we're looking to do. Like, just keep asking questions until they're finally inventing something, right?
Correct.
So they could benefit from Kanban. They've never heard of it. And, you know, how long will it take before somebody spontaneously invents Kanban?
Right. Yeah. Right. If it's out there. Yeah. I'm a big, you said earlier at the top of the show about, you didn't call it stealing. I forgot what your phrase was. It was
absorbing.
Absorbing.
Yeah. You can steal that from me.
I absorb a lot in my career. To tell you that, I love to do that. I'm not a big proponent of reinventing the wheel, as you will.
Exactly.
I'm always for that. If I see something that I like, I usually ask permission from the person first. I will say, hey, you know, I was in your meeting the other day, and you showed some slides that I really like. That slide, do you mind if I use that? Or could you, because I have to get a copy from them. So would you send me a copy of that? And 9 times out of 10, they say, sure, yeah, no big deal. And, but yeah, so yeah, great. So choice. Yeah. So, anything else on your mind about, choices?
About choice? Let's see. Well, I there's a lot of ways. There's really a lot of ways to, exploit that idea of choice. Another one that I like to use is, the idea of, okay. So as an example, you go to a restaurant, imagine you go to a restaurant and, you walk in and you've never been there before. And, you know, some places they have the menu on the wall, right? So you look up at the wall, there's nothing there. And the host seats you and doesn't hand you menus. So they must be on the table, right?
Right.
So you look and there's no menu. It's like, oh, well, maybe this is like one of these, price fix kind of places. So then, the server comes over and says, what would you like? And you're like, well,
menu
available here.
Uh-huh. Right.
And they say, well, we're a restaurant and we have food. And so you're like, well, good. I guess. All right. I guess I'll have a cheeseburger. Oh, well, we don't serve that here. Right, can you imagine? It's like the Monty Python cheese kit. Oh, we don't have any Swiss cheese today. Well, what do you have?
What do you have?
Right. So now think about somebody that's never had an experience with a Scrum Master, a coach, an Agile coach, whatever. And you say, well, how can I help? Well, I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So one of the things I like to put together, and it depends on the organization, but is, like if they're using Teams, then, the Teams Wiki or Confluence Wiki or, whatever they're using, and put together a catalog of services, right? Here are the things that I offer, or if it's a coaching team, here's the things that the coaching team offers. We have, we can do an introduction to Kanban. We can do a refresh on Scrum in an hour. We can do facilitation for any meeting. Just the possibilities are endless. And if somebody looks through that, they might find something that's useful to them that you never would have thought of offering to them, and they never would have thought of asking you for.
Sure.
Right. So it's kind of like a menu for coaching. So that's another way. And it's their choice. They can look in their own time, without anybody suggesting anything, and find something that they're interested in. And so they'll pull it from you.
Well, when you were saying that, when you were talking about the person in the restaurant, that got me thinking of, I have something similar to that on my current team. There's a woman who joined, and she was actually a outside consultant from another company brought on board to take us through this upgrade. So because she knows a lot about what we're doing. So never had any exposure to Scrum ever. However, very open to it, very open-minded, willing to learn. And so I'd had a couple of meetings with her and gave her, high level, dug a little bit into, I didn't want to overwhelm her about Scrum and told her my role and all that stuff. And kind of to your point. So, I thought I'd given her enough to, get it pointed in the right direction, and maybe I did, but, I've asked her a couple times after that. I said, hey, you have any questions or, anything I can help you with? And she said, well, I don't know what to ask yet. Kind of like to your point,
right.
I don't know what to ask yet because I don't really know enough about it. And I said, okay. Right. Well, and every time I'd say, okay, would you like to meet again? Well, no. And if something comes along, I'll get with you. So I'm not real sure where she is, but I understand your point there is that I thought I gave her a little bit of a menu, nothing written,
right.
And maybe I should have sent something out and had something out there that she could, maybe I should send her the Scrum guide or something. She could read that and then maybe come back with questions. But I like that idea. I've given them a menu and you, I'm learning a lot from you on this. So this is great. This is awesome.
Well, thanks.
Yes, I am. This is really good. This is really great. Yes, I like that. Good topic. So, anything else about choice that you want to talk about?
I think on the topic of choice, that, you know, off the top of my head, that's what comes to mind. I'm sure if I dug a little bit more, you know, maybe it'll be something else there, but.
Right. Well, this has been great. Yeah. Right. So, yeah. So thank you, Damon, for your time, and I appreciate it. And again, our guest today has been Damon Poole. He is a longtime Agilist coach. And again, his upcoming book coming out in, I believe you said March, the Kindle version?
March 19th, very specific. March
19th, yeah. The Kindle version is coming out. Professional Coaching for Agilists from Addison Wesley Professional. We thank you for joining us today. And as always, this has been Greg. Reminding you to like us, review us on any of the podcast apps that you listen. You can visit my site, theagilewithin.com. My email, gregmiller@theagilewithin.com. Facebook, The Agile Within, with any questions, comments, any show suggestions, I'm happy to take those. And if it's something I like, I might take you up, but maybe I'll reach out to you. Maybe we'll talk about it. And as a reminder, this is The Agile Within, where we help you be more agile.
Well, thanks for having me, Greg.
Yeah, thanks a lot.